DevOps. Auf die Ohren und ins Hirn. Ein Podcast rund um DevOps. Von Dirk Söllner.
Happy New Year and a warm welcome to all the listeners of my podcast DevOps, auf die Ohren und ins Hirn, which means DevOps, right through your ears into your brain. Usually it is a German-speaking podcast. Today it's the third time with an international guest, so I would like to switch to English. My name is Dirk Söllner and I'm working as a consultant, trainer and coach for DevOps. I'm one of round about 15 DASA DevOps ambassadors all over the world and was selected for Germany. To my point of view, DevOps covers cultural, organizational and technical aspects. In this podcast, I'm talking about these things with experts. Today, my guest is a well-known DevOps expert. It is a great honor for me and I am proud to have you here, Patrick Dubois. He is known as one of the authors of the DevOps Handbook, and together with Gene Kim, Jess Humble, and John Willis. And he created the DevOps Days, the first DevOps conference ever. This episode is called 10 Years After Birth. Is DevOps Adult and Mature Enough? So, hello, Patrick. I decided not to introduce you deeply. Could you please do that for me and all the listeners?
I was going to say, Guten Morgen, Dirk.
Thank you.
I guess most people know me from DevOps days and having started DevOps. I've been a consultant for about 20 plus years, and I think my background has been in doing different roles, being a tester, being a developer, being an ops person, being a manager, being a product owner. So that's kind of how working in these different groups, I got together on DevOps as such. So I've worked a lot in government, but also in startups. So, the more diversity I have in my life, the more interesting it gets. So,
sounds great. So thanks a lot. First question is always the same. How would you define or describe DevOps?
Yeah, it's the million-dollar question, right? For me, DevOps is about collaborating so we can do each of our jobs better. And for me, I want to stress that part on the collaboration. I think from that, we've seen the results happen, that there have been new practices emerge, new tool sets, and the speed of which we could do things has improved. Some would say it was the pressure of the speed that got us collaborating. But I think the main point is the collaboration that drives better results. That's, in theory, if you look at it from a system theory perspective, the sum is more than each individual part. So that's my background, how I see DevOps.
Oh, great. So I mentioned the DevOps days. They started in 2009, and last year you had the 10th anniversary. How did the DevOps days change in the last 10 years?
Well, yeah, it's been a little bit underground in the first years, because it wasn't that known. I think it has moved on to more broad spectrum. So I think the topics have evolved in a way that we've had a lot of different perspectives on it over the years. I think the pattern of human and culture has evolved in a way that it's becoming the predominant part of the conference, which some don't like because there's still, a big chunk is also the technology as well. What's been fascinating is that how it has spread over the world, people like Bridget Krumhout, who's now leading the DevOps Days core group, how she put a lot of work in documenting, having people run it themselves. So it's been fascinating to see that spread all over the world. And now recently, something that really struck me is like Brazil this year kind of exploded, so many events happening, and it just keeps continuing. It does make me a little bit sad that after 10 years, we are still speaking about these things, mainly in our own conferences. So yes, there's DevOps tracks in other conferences, but I originally, I would have hoped that it was almost common knowledge, or that it would, the conferences wouldn't have to be there anymore, and that it would just be integrated in all the other conferences on development or operations and so on. So it's good to still talk about it, and it's good to see things, but in a way, it's sad that we created like another separate conference. And it's sometimes it feels a little bit like an echo chamber. So,
right, it's a little bit like building a DevOps silo, right? Just talking about DevOps on our conferences, not on every conferences.
Correct. Yes. You're right. But, you know, it is still interesting. There's a lot of good talks. So I'm not saying that, but I think it's maybe it's overall. What annoys me is that the adoption is still,
right,
you know, a long way from being embedded as a good common practice. So,
yes, would be better doing DevOps than talking about DevOps.
Well, yeah, but you gotta have both, right? So
yes, right. Yes, but you said that the change was a little bit that human and culture is more in on the top. Do you have some examples for that?
Well, like patterns or things like empathy really came into a couple of years ago, and then. You know, concepts like maybe more like T-shaped people and groups doing celebrating retrospectives. So it's less on the technical side that it's about cloud or any technology, but more on these human kind of aspects of collaborating and working in an enterprise. Also, burnout has been a big topic that come up. I know it comes up in maybe other conferences as well, but the fact that we are, as DevOps days, not a technology-only focused, we do get a lot of talks on that as well. So.
Right. So we talked about what has changed to the DevOps days, and how did DevOps itself change in the last years from your perspective?
Well, the change in the industry is almost like the industry has decided on what DevOps is. And I think 85%, you know, give or take, it means deployment and faster deploys. And in a way that I would have hoped for more on the collaboration aspect, as I said before. But for a lot of people, it is the, you know, the deployment tool and the pipeline. There's still, you know, there's a lot of people still, I'm not going to say fighting the good cause, but it's almost like explaining that it's more than a tool set. But I think the industry has settled on what it is. And we are beyond any change on that. But from my perspective, I think any of the larger industry movements, whether it was ITIL or Agile, for some reason, they get more reduced over time to the tool set. Whether ITIL was the whole ticket system and the control software, and Agile was about the testing and the you know, the Scrum kind of tool set. I think it's you know, it seems to be natural. It shouldn't be like that, but it's apparently something we in the industry, what we remember on a certain, you know, buzzword or something. But in a way, it doesn't really matter because it did change people's lives. You know, sometimes I get these emails like, yes, you changed my job and I'm now much happier than I was before. And, you know, that's really rewarding. And I think, you know, people will build upon that for the next thing. And it's good. And, it, you know, we don't have to be sad, but we could have expected something different. But it is what it is. So,
yes. So you talked about, or you mentioned collaboration and results. So I think that will be could be the next steps, doing better collaboration to get better results and to engage with customers. Could be the next 10 years or the next years, change with DevOps or to DevOps. Last year, I mentioned that DevOps Days had the 10th anniversary. I think there were a lot of interviews you had to give last year. What question are not asked, which you would have liked to hear and to answer?
Well, I can tell you the question I got all the time. What's the next thing?
okay.
But the question I would like to hear... It's hard to say. For me, I can only speak from my perspective in a way that I find it fascinating with anything that the collaboration was within our companies. And I experienced in my own company that when you use a lot of SaaS solutions, the authority of those companies lie outside of your outside your authority, and it's interesting how collaboration is working in that perspective, because you cannot ask the people from Amazon, you cannot ask the people from your CI system to sit next to you and to talk to you all the time. So I found that, you know, fascinating how collaboration would work in this kind of services world. So that's something, you know, that interests me. And I don't know if that's, you know, something they had to ask, but, you know, that's something that keeps, me going as a puzzle.
Right. Okay. So, you changed my life was something you mentioned from emails to guys they sent you. Sometimes I have the impression or get the impression that this is a question of experience and of age, because I think younger people are more DevOps like than older one. What do you think about that?
It's definitely harder to change after you've been doing something for a long time. I wouldn't say this is young and old. Maybe it is because I'm old and I can't say that.
You are not old. You are experienced.
Yeah.
No. Like me.
Experienced. The experienced is also they. I would say they would probably see the benefit easier because they've lived through the pain much more. So I can't really decide what. Yes, they can. You know, the younger people or the less experienced people can change, and they maybe not know the difference because they don't have, you know, the pain experience and the more experience they do. So, but in both cases, it could mean a difference of, yes, the person next to me doesn't talk to me. I always have to do this, manual jobs, which aren't interesting. But now, you know, giving in a good context where I come into a company where people talk to me, where I am accepted for who I am. I think that is still largely from both perspectives, but you get to appreciate it more if you see, you have seen more bad examples from it. So.
So maybe it's a little bit black and white, but I think or I often met people who are complaining and they do not change. So I think the younger ones, the younger people are more focusing on collaborating and more focusing on the results. They want to do a good job. It's my impression. And the older one, they may complain, they may have felt the pain, but I would like to have them more working on the pain and change their business and their jobs.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is that sometimes I have the impression that I would say that DevOps has been zeitgeist in a way that on social media, the trend was to collaborate, to work together, to share information. And that same general sense of community, and whether it's now in, in for having a greener environment or other things, this kind of shift in authority almost, has had an impact on DevOps as well, and that's what younger people are used to, is that they don't blindly accept authority top down, like a waterfall discussion or that, and that's something I've seen change in general on how management inside companies has changed as well. In the past, you had the architect somewhere up there deciding what needs to be done, and then you get decided further down the chain. But now you almost have to find consensus. Your voice, even if it's experienced, is equal to any other. So you have to defend, you have to explain, you have to listen a lot more to make a more balanced decision.
If you continue to look into the past, what was your most satisfying moment or experience with DevOps?
I think the and it's a very strange example I'm going to give for DevOps, but I when I worked for a government company, we were doing building a portal. And it wasn't until we started working with one of the almost like a politician that we made some progress. So what happened is that he would trust us to do the right thing on the technology, and then he would go defend that solution to other people. And it's almost like this blind trust between two people, and it didn't mean that we had to do everything ourselves or that, but it's almost like the one amplifies the other. And I know this example is outside of dev and ops, but it's just when you have an ally or somebody who helps you and you help him, that you can achieve like a lot better results on than before.
Yes, it's an example for human changing, for culture and for collaboration, right? Just outside DevOps, but should be normal way to work with each other.
Yes, I think in my talk in DevOps days, I also gave the examples of collaborating outside of dev and ops with marketing, with sales, with legal, and to make the whole company improve, and not just the pipeline, because a lot of it has been written on the pipeline and you can keep on improving the pipeline, but after a certain point it might just be enough. And I think that's another interesting part of the discussion, is that when your bottleneck moves and isn't anymore in the pipeline, you should work on that. And it's something I see not happen a lot because people would say, yes, but I will improve my pipeline and then everything goes better. But there's so much around the pipeline that needs to be resolved as well. So,
right. So I think the IT inside the companies will change itself. So we're talking something about biz DevOps to engage more business into DevOps. And it's I think it's the right way you think you said. Integrating more business and moving the bottleneck maybe outside the IT, outside the pipeline.
Yeah, and it's also a matter of trust. Let's say somebody in the ops team, let's say that, let me find the example. If they would say a developer... I know the example. So somebody made fun of me during the DevOps days and said, the DevOps days website uses Git to change the website. And normally you would have to send like a pull request and asking people to have a peer review and then, you know, submit or, you know, commit it to the site. And what I did, I changed it immediately on master. I didn't go to a pull request. And they said, well, you can't do that. It made me think like, yes, I understand there's a pull request and a peer review, but this was like changing two letters in my name. So,
okay.
So, you know, where's the trust in, you know, I would have taken ownership if something would have failed. But how can we be so stuck in the process of saying, well, you'd have to have a peer review, right? So there is a matter of trust that still needs to be there somehow. So.
Yes, okay, right. So that was talking about satisfying moments or experience. And what was the greatest disappointment?
Well, the greatest disappointment was a company where I tried so hard to explain things and to help things, but I got the impression that they were throwing more hoops at me as before because they didn't believe in DevOps. They believed that by specifying everything in a document, that was the way to go. It made me realize that it's sometimes, you know, DevOps goes onto a fundamental belief that you believe that collaboration does improve things. And if you don't believe that, you have a hard time defending it. And there is no, you know, if somebody doesn't believe in that, and he still believes in, you know, you need to specify everything from top to bottom and more of a waterfall approach, there is no way you're going to convince him. If the belief is not there that, you know, it will improve things. And that was a really hard job for me. And I tried for, let's say, a year, and then I moved on because, if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense.
Yes, I got these disappointment points like you for smaller steps, not for companies itself, but in smaller projects, I do get this impression too. So they're talking about DevOps, they are talking about being agile, but they are not agile. They are doing some events from Scrum or something like that. They're building a board on the wall, but they do not change their mindset and all the things like that.
Yeah, I read a funny tweet. I forgot. It was somebody who was really known in the agile world, but I forgot who it was. But and he said, I'm going to change my consultancy fee. So the first hours are, let's say the first days are for free. And then after a while, my price will just increase very fast, very high. And he said, the reason why I would do that is that I would have already explained everything in the first 2 days. And me having to repeat that all the time, you know, if you want me to do that, it will cost you a lot.
Okay. Right. So, okay. Yes. Regarding the last 10 years of DevOps, what happened that you did not expect?
I think having the different groups in there is something I expected. I think the more ceremonial things like retrospectives and burnouts, that's something I wouldn't have anticipated before, that we would result in such a strong collaboration practices beyond that. It's probably because for me personally, I hadn't seen that happen before during my jobs. Yes, talking to others, yes, collaborating, but having that almost like formalized in a way that other people could do that, that was really interesting for me to see that we could take those practices outside our one company and do that in others. So
yes, okay, right. So I think that DevOps is a movement. It's not a framework. I think you would agree to that. What do you think about all the frameworks like Scrum, ITIL, or SAFe regarding DevOps? How is the point for that?
I think it's every framework gives you a model to think in. I don't think every model has its flaws and its good things, but it's almost like when you, let's say if you're a developer and you see a new tool, and you have this belief that this tool will solve your problems, and the reason why that you often have that feeling is that because you haven't used it already. But once you start using it, you would see its flaws and problems. And, yes, we shifted our way of thinking, but now new problems arise. So you can't escape complexity. And I think it's very similar with these models. Yes, they give you a framework to think about. I think there's... the nice thing is that if it's written down, then people can read the same thing and report on the same problems. Otherwise, everybody has their like special snowflake model. But it's almost like Scrum. But yeah. There's always like exceptions, sometimes you don't realize the nuances of why practices are done in a certain way after you've done it for them for a while. But I think it's great that people keep describing them. I love to read that. But it's a little bit like certifications. I like certifications in a way that it pressures you to learn the space. It pressures you to not only learn the aspects that you're used to doing, but also other aspects. But when you would say a certain certification, when you attain the certification, doesn't mean you know everything about it. And it's similar to a framework. Yes, it has its good things. And yes, you can use it. But if you use it almost like fundamentalistically, only the framework is right, then I will probably not believe you. I came across a framework that integrates framework, like the Bossa Nova. And that's interesting because they kind of mix things together and they kind of show overlaps and point out similarities in frameworks. That's how I think about, whenever a new framework comes out, yes, I will read it. Yes, I will try to understand it. Also, understand the context, where it works, why it works. And then it's an extra thing in my tool set to kind of, work with that.
Yeah, so although I'm selling trainings and certifications, I prefer more the workshops or trainings without certifications, without exams, because just looking, your first sentence was collaboration and results. So if I do have a workshop without exam, without certification, there's a lot of more collaboration, and we are a lot more focusing on the results and on the content, but not on the exam, and presenting my knowledge to someone who questioned me something. So it's okay. And
that's an interesting observation there. But how would you translate that inside a company context? So that means like introducing a new tool. It's almost like when you don't put pressure on it, then it might get accepted. And if you put the pressure on there, you know, everybody will go against it or something. I don't know what the equivalent is.
Oh, yeah. So if you put a pressure on a new tool, you would say, okay, this is the new tool and you have to use it after 14 days of training on the new tool. And so I think my perspective of DevOps and modern work is to work together, to collaborate, just you said, and to get the best things out of it. Cherry picking, you might call it. And so cherry picking from a new tool or from a new framework, and look, okay, so this is a good thing, we can change it, but not to use all the things of the frameworks, not discussing about pros and cons.
Yeah, that's a good point. So
as a coach and trainer, I often work with administrators in DevOps context. And sometimes I get the impression that these guys are not really amused working with Scrum or Kanban. Do you think there are different types of people within DevOps companies?
Both. That's the jump between both.
Right.
I can see many reasons why I can't work with Kanban and Scrum. Let me first take that. I think over the years, it's been interesting. We worked with different customers. And once in a while, a new customer comes up and he says, like, yes, and we were just starting on our Scrum journey, and we're doing the sprints, and you know, it's a good thing. You know, they have the mindset to change, the will to change. There's a project, so that's good. For example, the Scrum sprint period, let's say they would do 2 weeks. If you need something done right now, let's say an urgent thing from the ops perspective, from production perspective. Sometimes you get this pushback from saying, no, it's not part of our current scope, right? So in a way, I understand that the sprint protects people for new things flowing in. But if you are so stubborn to say, no, nothing new comes in, and you don't even consider it whether you need to swap something in or out during your Scrum sprint, you know, that makes me sad as well. So, you know, that's just an example I've experienced on having agile teams versus an ops team, because in ops, a lot of things can be urgent because, you know, you need to react quite fast. And that's why I like the Kanban approach often better if there's let's say the ops part has a lot more incidents or things that would happen that needs urgent attention, then that makes sense, because in that way, when you limit the work in progress, you can always say, what's the most important? Let's do that first. I don't know if that makes sense on that part.
That's right. You're talking about the dev team and the ops team. And to my perspective, my goal is to engage both in one team. So to have a DevOps team, what do you think about that?
Well, they can certainly be part of the same team. You know, there's been a lot of discussion whether you can call it a DevOps team or not. Personally, I don't care that much. as long as you collaborate and you get results. I think what's been interesting in what I see happening in the industry right now is that some people yell fire when they say they see you call it a DevOps team, but now a term that comes up quite often is the platform team. So it makes sense to be to look a little bit strange when you just rebrand your ops team to the DevOps team and you don't collaborate. But what I see is that the platform team is almost like the ops team from before, but the main difference is that they provide self-servicing to the other teams, and they see themselves as the enabler of other parts of the team instead of being the final part of the delivery chain that has to control everything. So it's a fundamental mind shift, whether you're an enabler that allows things to happen and trusts the development to do things in production, or you don't trust them and you're going to be the bottleneck who always says no. And whatever the name, I think that's what we try to go against for. I was watching an episode of a presentation on DevSecOps yesterday from Etsy. And for example, the fact that, let's say in a company, somebody changes a very important configuration file. And there's two ways of going about it. You would say, well, we make changing impossible. And if you want to change that, you would have to have approval from six people, and then you can change that. But let's assume that same configuration file is quite often needed if things go wrong. Do you allow somebody to change that file or not? It's very similar to the Git master commit. Do you trust somebody to do that? I think the point he made was, well, the point is that everybody gets notified, not that everybody has to agree. What they did was they put like, yes, if you change this file, six people will get notified. Are you sure you want to do this? And they put the ownership and to that person to make that call instead of blocking it. And I think that's a good example of the difference between a traditional ops team or the way they used to work versus a newer way of working where you empower other people or you make them self-service to do things and you listen to what they need. So,
yes, right. I think it's a really good example. And it refers also to your point, to your definition of DevOps. It's about collaboration and results, talking about results and having good results. So this year you will focus on DevSecOps, you told me. So just looking for this thing, what is the new for you talking about DevSecOps?
Well, I've last year the last 5 years I run a little company, and we decided to end it last year, and I figured like, what am I going to do in the new year? So there's so many options, and I was at the conference in November at DevOps Rex in Paris, where I gave a talk, and I came out in the sponsor area. Almost every booth was DevSecOps, and it might have been that being too busy with running my own company, not keeping tab on anything in the DevSecOps industry specifically, that made me just interested to figure out like, where can we help, where can we maybe help in some tooling, evangelizing, on DevSecOps. Sometimes it feels a little bit different from DevOps, and sometimes it doesn't. There's, I think, a bigger focus on tooling in general. But I found it just, you know, I have also a background in previous jobs on security. And, you know, I'm looking forward to going back to those parts and to learn more about the space. But like I said before, the example on collaborating between changing that file from a security perspective, those are the kind of examples I'm looking for in the DevSecOps space. So yes, the tooling is going to be interesting, but also those practices. Because what I noticed is, and when DevOps goes faster, we do a lot of changes, and there is no work to be done on how to, I'm not going to say control, but how to deal with the impact of those changes in a faster way. If we were doing waterfall in the infrastructure and it would take us a long time to send an update or a patch, we would just be more vulnerable. So because we now got our pipeline under control and we can do a lot more, a lot faster changes, it's interesting how that actually changes the security level of a company as well. And we've experienced that firsthand. In my previous company, we were doing live television shows, so support for live television shows. And, you know, there's voting, there's gaming. And if people start to kind of abuse you or, you know, to win a prize or something else, yes, our pipeline was able to deploy quite fast and to do all the changes, but it almost seems like the next maturity level is that how can we be more secure? How can we do things better there as well? And so, yeah, I look forward to, you know, learning the space and sharing my thoughts on that as well. So.
All right. So all the best wishes for that. And so I think with this will lead me to my last question. And I want to step back to the title of this episode. Is DevOps adult and mature enough? What do you think? What will happen to DevOps within the next 5 or 10 years?
Well, the interesting part is that there's still a lot of companies still discovering DevOps. So it will just continue as it is before. I think, you know, DevSecOps is interesting because it's almost like a new field extension. And I would imagine like BizDevOps or others, there will just start being extensions. And it will be confusing with the, you know, the name, whether that's still DevOps or good or bad, but you know, we're to say that it's mature. Like I said before, people have made up their minds that a lot of it, the DevOps is the deployment pipeline and all the tooling around it, and they will look for something new. And you know, maybe some people would extend DevOps for that, and some would have a new buzzword for that, but. I think the nice thing is we're, at least I hope, is that we're still progressing as a profession to, you know, to do things better. So,
yeah, to do things better, to collaborate better, and to get better results. So, right, life is changing, the world is changing, the names are changing. So there will be no problem to have some changing in the last year in the next years.
Yeah, correct. And the interesting part is that I don't have any shares in DevOps or companies. So, you know, whatever happens is the right thing. So,
so that's what my daughter says. She's 20 years old and she always says, okay, what happens, it happens. It should have happened. So, right. Thank you, Patrick. Thanks a lot for this episode. Thanks a lot about for sharing your insights, sharing your opinions, and I hope to see you again on Twitter. So we will meet there, and thank you again for that.
Definitely. Thank you for being that I could be on the show. So and next time, maybe I try a little bit of German.